visit with Juanita this Sunday afternoon late, the 29th November 1970. We've been expecting her all day since 8:30 this morning when Faye telephoned her and she was still in bed. Beginning of the visit with Juanita this Sunday afternoon late, the 29th November 1970. This beginning of a visit with Juanita this Sunday afternoon late, 29th November 1970, Channel 1 over. Channel 1 over. Channel 1 over. And the beginning of the visit with Juanita this Sunday afternoon late, about dark, the 29th of November 1970. We got in touch with her earlier this morning and have been hanging fire ever since. And this is late Sunday afternoon, 29th November 1970. Channel 1 over, and the beginning of the visit with Juanita this afternoon, Sunday afternoon, late 29th November 1970, and begins just a little bit ahead of you. It's Sunday morning, the 29th November 1970, Channel 1 over.
Miles or 39,000 when I've got it. It'll turn over 80,000.
Oh, you're
in the next 5 miles. I didn't buy it new. But Dr. Selfridge, who's head of the computing center,
yeah,
was his car. And he just takes excellent care of a car.
I'd rather get one from a man like that and just buy a new one.
Well, I mean, he kept that motor was as clean as a pen. It isn't that dirty, it needs cleaning, but he kept it clean. Every year the radiator was flushed out and, you know, everything just, and he serviced the thing himself. And so when he traded in, I came over to the house to get some grass sprigs, and he was driving this new one. They got a bigger, the bigger model. And he'd had that one 2 years. And this is 68 he traded. It was the 4th of July. So I asked him, I said, well, what'd you do with the old one? He said, it's still down at the Rambler place. You just traded the day before. I said, well, I'm going down there in the morning and see if it's still there. So I went down there. Well, it was the 4th. They were closed. 4th of July, and they were closed. And he'd gotten his car the day before. So I went down there the next day and got this one.
Yeah. And he wouldn't wear it out.
No, I would like to have. And well, he said he figured it had another 30,000 trouble-free miles on it. And he was about right. It was, you know, that much before I began to do anything to the brakes or things like that.
Mr. Spears had that little Rambler. The last one he used on his Star Up.
Mm-hmm.
He just went everywhere in that. And it didn't cost him anything.
No, this one will get, it'll get about 18 miles to the gallon without any problem.
And he talked like he could get that from any of them. He'd take care of them, tune them up himself. Willard City has had this old Ford pickup. It's ancient. It looks as new as any of them. And that's what he does, you see. He takes care of it himself. He checks the spark plugs and the points. And the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, you can just about keep them out of the car.
Well, see, Mary's husband Willie does that for me, the spark plugs and the points and things like that, he can do. And,
yeah. Well, now he's.
So this one hasn't been in the garage, and I don't know when.
Now, I don't know him, but from what I hear, he can just do anything with the machinery.
Yeah, he's a real good mechanic. Where does he work? He works down at the mill, Franklin Lumber Baskets Company, keeping all their stuff going.
Yeah.
He keeps all those diesel trucks on the road.
How about that?
Boy, you're lucky to have him in the family.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, not long ago, he went down to Ryder's to pick up a couple of trucks because they had more orders than they had trucks to deliver with, and so they had to rent a couple of extra trucks. And so while he was down there, this fellow at Ryder's was trying to hire him. And the superintendent at the mill was with him. Well, he was real upset, you know.
Yeah.
How about it?
And so he'd come over there asking Mama, you know, did she think Willie was going to quit? She done well. He hadn't said anything, you know, to her, but she did know that something. Well, he had heard what the man offered him. So then Ben was real concerned because Ben doesn't want to lose him either. Of course, Ben likes for him to hunt frogs with him and this, that, and the other out at the farm, too. So one night last week, he had to go frogging with Ben. So Ben was out to give him more money to keep him there.
Don't you know it hurts a man to reach down his pocket and just compete with the Ryder Corporation?
Well, he knows it's worth it to him because when Willie went down there, well, half the equipment was broken down. They couldn't keep it fixed and couldn't keep it running, you know.
Yeah.
And every time those trucks go out, they come back with something wrong with them. Either their, you know, their lights are disconnected or something's not working.
Yes.
And so, and if one of those trucks breaks down and stops down there around Lake Okeechobee, he'll have to go down there and get it going again, bring it back in, and fix it where they bring it.
They let him go down?
Yes, sir.
And get it?
Yeah. He goes out and fixes them. He went to Ocala the other night. One of them was at Ocala, and something was out on it, so he gets out and goes, yeah.
Well, I say, he don't live a dull life. He don't have to hang around the corner grocery, does he?
He's not one for hanging around the corner grocery. As Mary says, hanging around the house much is. No, he's out looking after things.
Well, now, what do you hear about the frogging that he and Ben do?
What did I hear about? Not a great deal. I don't know what they got the other night. Don's been with him a few times. Don likes to go frog gigging too.
Yeah.
Ralph's little boy. That's the only time you can go is at night. You can't find those frogs sitting on the lily pads during the day, but they'll be up out on the lily pads at night.
Yes. Well, how do they get up there?
What? The frogs? I mean, on the lily pads? Are you the guys get to them?
Yes.
In the airboat.
Ooh.
See, they can take the airboat and they just go right in where they are. Well, then they shine a light, and when they see their eyes, well, then they take the gigger, you know, this prong thing on the end of a pole, and gig them and put them in the sack.
That is.
The Tuscarawas used to be so full of frogs that they could just make a circle, and just as fast as they made the circle, they could gig them and put them in the bag, gig them and put them in the bag, and go around again. And they could pick up 100 pounds of frog legs in one night. You know how much those things are worth?
$1
Back
piece.
In those days, they were about $1.25 a pound.
Really?
It was nothing for those boys to go out there and make $100, $125 in a night.
Yeah.
And that to them, you know, was fun. If they hadn't been making a dime, it would have been fun to them.
Yes. Or if they'd made a dime a frog, it'd have been the same, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Does Ben have a boat?
Mm-hmm. Of course, Willie has a boat, too. Willie's got an airboat.
Oh.
He got an airboat, a duck boat, and this boat, and that boat.
You need some coffee?
I'd love to have a little, Faye. You know, I don't like much.
Yeah.
And I don't want much. And if we get much, I'll pour it out.
Yeah.
I just like a little bit, you know. Well,
they've never taken me frog gigging, though.
Now, they have a frog boat and a, what did you say?
They use the airboat for frogging.
Yeah.
He uses the same airboat when he goes out in the Gulf, if he goes fishing.
Yeah, oh.
Out of Cedar Key. Well, they can go out, you know, in the... Gets there faster.
Oh, yes. Yes. And gets where he wants to go.
But Willie has built an airboat from the hull up. Built the boat, built the hull of it, taken an airplane engine and adapted it to the to use it for an airboat.
Oh, really?
Well, Paul said he did something with an airboat, with an airplane engine, using this particular airplane engine for the airboat, that a mechanic, an airplane mechanic, aircraft mechanic, told him couldn't be done. Because someplace down in Central Florida, they had a warehouse full of these surplus engines.
Mm-hmm.
And, here's, what did I have this one in? You want this?
No.
But Paul said this aircraft mechanic told him that it couldn't be adapted to an airboat. But Willis sure did it.
Goodness.
They don't very often find that many frogs in one place anymore, but mm-hmm. Several years ago, they was not unusual for them to...
You call him Ben?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know him. See, I just call him Mr. Franklin. I never saw him once.
Dude, his father-in-law, Grace's father, was with the School of Forestry. Dr. In a minute. Fiddle-dee-dee.
I wouldn't know.
They've been around Gainesville. Which Ben and Gracie lived over on 7th Place.
Yeah.
Just off 22nd Street.
Yes. I know some people on 7th Place. They live down there in the 1800 block.
So where you all live? I said they just ride on down the street.
Yes, I know. At least I know somebody.
Mm-hmm. Well, you lived over in that vicinity somewhere, but
yeah, 7th Place sounds familiar, don't you say? Gee whiz. When I looked on it, I didn't know Ben, Mr. Franklin, Ben, I call him, since you do. Would have time for that frogging. He's got a lot of business affairs.
Oh yeah, he's got plenty of business affairs, but one night last week that they were last Tuesday night I think they went frogging, or Wednesday night maybe. I guess it was Wednesday night because Don was out here with me. And yeah, Ben likes that farm over there. You know, he over there near the Baldwins.
Oh.
Back this side.
That's his farm?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And he built him a house out there. He's got it furnished and all. And he and Benji, his son, Benji's the age of Paula, and he's in college now. He's at the University of Florida.
He come out there?
And he and Benji stay out there a lot. Gracie doesn't care so much about the farm.
She stays in there.
And, well, they sold the house on 7th Place and built out the country club a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, Ben loves that farm.
And they have Well, they have a daughter.
I've got two daughters.
Yeah.
Talking about Barbara or Molly?
Well, Molly, I guess.
Molly is the one that's married and has a baby.
Yeah.
And Barbara married Ernest Bell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that didn't last so long, you know. Got married, I think she's a senior in high school, junior senior in high school. Anyway, she finally went on back to school and finished, and she's working in Atlanta now. Barbara is.
I didn't know either one of the girls. I knew some of the their friends were friends of mine, you know, and they get them, they do things together.
Yeah, so Vita Bell's fine Ernest that she married, and they're just kids. Got set then. But I, as far as I know, I know she's not married because Mama hadn't said anything about it. Of course, Molly's married an attorney from, I think it's Phoenix City, Alabama, and she's living there. And she has a baby now.
Does Ben Franklin, I'll just call him Ben Franklin, does he hang around Micanopy much?
Not Micanopy, he comes to the mill.
Yeah, that's
and then
all.
He's got this farm out here, you know, out the Cross Creek Road, this side of, back this side of Bowitz.
Yeah.
And he spends a lot of time out there.
Oh, does he?
Mm-hmm.
Doing what?
I don't know what he does when he's out there.
He and his son.
But he and Benji, oh, they love the farm.
Oh.
He built him a house out there. And
yeah.
Furnished it.
Oh, I see.
So Gracie comes down every once in a while, and she's out there too.
Hmm.
He's got a house in Waynesville, North Carolina too.
Yeah.
He's had that one up there quite a long time.
Yeah, but he doesn't take a hand in Micanopy anymore. He's really lives in Gainesville.
Yeah, he's lived in Gainesville all of his married life.
Have you?
Because he and Gracie built that house on 7th Place when they first got married.
Oh, they built a place.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know people like that a little bit. I just feel so ignorant. I don't know a thing about them.
And he made his money right out here.
At the mill. Well, see, his dad started the mill. His dad had it before him.
It was an old mill before he ever got it running.
I don't know. I don't know who had it before.
I mean,
Mr. Franklin had it. Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, his father had been there for years and years before Ben got it.
Yeah.
And then his dad died. I can just remember. I remember a little about Mr. Franklin. And after he died, well, then Ben, of course, he was out of college by this time, or just finishing college. Guess maybe he was out. But he took over, he took the business,
mm-hmm.
and he's really,
it
was sort of floundering at the time that he got it.
Yeah.
The time Mr. Franklin died. But he's really put the thing on the road.
Well, now,
made something of it.
Some of those people, like Mr. Barr, went from his daddy over to his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mr. Barr was down there when his daddy ran it. And some of the Sheffields worked down there when the old man had it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether he has any Sheffields down there now or not. I guess he does. There's some of the Negras that have been there. You know, Negro families that have been there through all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Mama's had the little store down there since 55.
I wondered about that. Now, what is her position down there?
She just runs the little store, which is actually it's an accommodation for the hands at the mill.
Yes.
And the store used to have a commissary. Years ago, they had the commissary.
Yes.
And then the old building that the commissary was in, they tore down. And so they were without a store. And of course, Mom and Daddy had, you know, most of the hands they took care of down at store downtown, Red and White. Most of them trading down there. So it was after Mom and Daddy had sold the Red and White, and Ben told Mama that he wanted to build a building to house the parts, machinery and what have you, spare parts for the mill, and to provide enough space in there for a store, and wanted to know if she'd run it. So she went down there in 55, I guess, right after when he built the building, and she's been down there since. So he didn't want any of the responsibility as far as the business end of it or anything to do with the store. She runs the store, and then at the end of the year, whatever the profits are, well, they split them out. But actually, the stores and the profit from the store goes to the kids. That's the way he wanted it set up. I mean, all it was an accommodation for the. Of course, it's anything he does, it's a business proposition, but at the same time, well, he just gave her the responsibility of looking after it, paying for it, and hours and what have you.
That's a full-time job.
Yeah. But see, she goes down there, she opens up about 7:30. Well, they start to work at 8. And they're not supposed to come over there during the morning hours anyway. Or, I mean, to keep them from prancing back and forth all day long, you know, for cold drinks and this, that, and the other. She usually closed. So, if she wants to leave there, say, 8:30, 9 o'clock, after she gets the drink boxes filled back up, so she'll have cold drinks for noon, she can close it up. But the main thing is to be open during the noon hour, and then around 5 o'clock when they're changing shifts. So so her hours are flexible. And then she doesn't open up on Saturday at all, because there's no hands around there on Saturday.
That's a great help, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
5 day week.
Mm-hmm. Now, for a while, she operated in such a way it was pretty much a full-time job, because she had so much stuff in there. She had a lot of dry goods, and she was carrying a lot of meat. She'd get her pork chops and all, and she'd wrap them, you know, in packages, weigh them and wrap them and mark them, and just put them in the freezer. Well, somebody come in, they wanted so many pork chops, well, she had a package there, and then she'd take her chickens and do them the same way. She'd have Dale's deliver fryers to her, and then she'd wrap them individually and wrap them and price them and drop them down in the freezer, and then if they come along and wanted something, she had it in there. But she's gotten away from a lot of that now. She doesn't do as much of it as she used to.
That adds some hard work to her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was quite a bit of work, because every Thursday she had all those chickens to wrap, and then she had meat coming in, and it all had to be packaged and priced, and then she had a ice cream box, a big one. She had ice cream at one end, she had meat at the other end. But she didn't do too much of that anymore.
You know, it's hard to think of anyone just running a grocery. It seems to me like it's just so much work to it.
Yeah, there is.
You got to keep.
Two things I didn't want was a grocery store and a restaurant.
Oh, well, your daddy didn't work much.
He didn't?
On the grocery store.
Yeah, he did.
He just sat back there with his sleeves rolled up. Down.
He did his own meat cutting. He did all the meat cutting. He didn't ever hire a butcher.
Well.
So he had all the meat market.
Yes.
Besides, he had all the heavy stuff to do, too.
The what?
Heavy.
Yes, yes.
If somebody wanted a sack of feed.
Yes.
Mama didn't load a sack of feed. Somebody's car, or truck, or what have you.
Well, that's right. He sold feed, too.
So, yeah.
Well, what was wrong with CS? Couldn't he take it out there?
Oh, the boys?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't always have them around every day of the week. He had them on the weekends. He had them Fridays and Saturdays.
Oh.
For sure. But you didn't always have them.
Oh.
He had two boys, and one of those didn't like work.
Yeah.
If they had them, they'd still been in that grocery store today. If Ernest cared anything about working.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Now, in the old way of life, the old system,
the
boys would take over the power
business.
But none of them do it anymore, do they? It's rare.
I've always mentioned the fact that this helicopter business that he's gotten into, that he thought this was a possibility for Don, that something he could, you know, develop for Don. And he may be right, because Don loves flying just about as well as his daddy does.
Yeah.
I can tell you about the time he was in Jacksonville, and they had the helicopter out on the pad, and this mechanic had been servicing the thing.
Yeah.
And so they got the thing back to going, and the propeller, the blade had a vibration in it. They cranked the thing up. The thing had vibration. So he had Paul out there looking at it. He couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. Why it was vibrating. So Don's standing over there viewing the conversation. Their observation of it. So he asked your daddy, he said, he told his dad to pull down one of the blades. And told him which one to pull down. And he said, isn't this one supposed to have a thing on it like those have? And the weight on that one had been left off. Paul said that mechanic looked at him. You know, this Paul Don was about 10 years old when he...
Yeah, well, that's a good sign, isn't it?
Yeah, he's real keen. He's sharp about things like that.
One of the nicest.
And he's been around Willie. You know, Willie spends a lot of time with him, and so he's. I know my that Rambler out here. The kids had been driving it, and it was just after they'd started doing quite a bit of driving this summer. They got their driver's license, and they had the clutch all out of cahoots. This one's a straight shift.
Mm-hmm.
So I was gonna have Willie look at it. Well, Don began to explain to me that it was probably this, you know, that this clutch, you had to adjust it, tighten it up, and this, that, and the other, because he'd been helping Papa with the lawnmower, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he had an idea of what was probably wrong with the clutch, and it really wasn't too much of a job to fix it. So Willie took it and adjusted it, and it was pretty much what Don figured it.
Nice. Well, he's in the middle of it, isn't he? Don is.
Yeah, with a Willie and his
car. But I told you about the time he was coming from Jacksonville, though, and the Volkswagen wheel came off. You heard that
story?
Yes,
I heard it.
And Don told him if they told his daddy if they could get a nail that they could fix it. The cotter key had been left out of it when they put the wheel back on and the hub on. So Paul found a nail and put the wheel back on, put the nail in the hole, and they got back to Jacksonville.
You know, that your daddy's store there, I don't know of any place that's more inviting than the old grocery store where you had sacks that you could sit on and smell. All of them fragrance, you know.
Every once in a while I get real, real homesick for the kind of grocery store I used to know.
But
I saw Gleason, Tennessee in the paper this morning.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Story about the Presleys. Elvis Presley's father.
Yeah.
they had helped a family from Gleason, Tennessee, whose child was in the hospital for major surgery, and they had four or five other children at home, and their home burned.
Yeah.
And lost everything. Let me tell you, down at
Juanita, you are wasting your time and prolonging your visit because
I'm not Gleason
or Elvis Presley. But I'm
who's from Gleason? Are you from Gleason?
Neither one of you.
I've just got to
guess
hear.
I must have seen it on the map last night when I was looking for.
We can have them right next
okay.
door to it. Oh, I can just picture Gleason like you can, making up it almost. Let me tell you. Now, this doesn't appeal to you, but you don't know. I have thought about it 50 times since you were over here. What's the nigga's name that went up?
AJ.
AJ. Yes,
sir. He can't get over that.
That's one of the nicest things. We used to live over
there. Yeah, you should have been over there this afternoon. Maybe Mama could have told you some of those stories on Daddy.
Let me
tell
you.
Those things he did. She came out to see Big Mama a little while.
We used to thrive on stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard any stories like that. Tell them again.
He's been trying to get me to tell it, and I couldn't tell it one. You just have to tell it.
AJ. Now I wasn't a boy. He had grown.
Well, he was a Negro that was, 18, 19, 20 years old, I guess. Maybe somewhere I can find a picture of AJ with the fish. Somewhere I remember there was a picture of him and a string of fish that Daddy had caught.
Yeah. Well, he went fishing with him, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Daddy took him fishing with him. He paddled the boat for Daddy.
He paddled the boat.
See, yeah, those boys want to go fishing. They find them a nigger to paddle the boat and then give them the fish.
Oh.
All they want to do is catch them.
Yeah.
That's all they wanted to do was catch the fish.
Yeah. And he'd have to know him pretty well to play a good joke on him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he knew him real well.
Yeah.
He knew him real well.
Now, the pond that you got his favorite was back over
Was back over behind the old Hurlong place. You know the place they call Blueberry Hill?
Yeah.
Well, on back in the woods is a place called Water Lily.
Water Lily.
And they used to say that it was fed from fresh water underground, that it was a bottomless place.
Yes.
But it used to have the nicest bath, and then it had filled with the water lilies. You know, we've got hyacinths in these other lakes, but this pond had water lilies in it. There's a lake out back of Grandma's place over near the prairie. There's this marshy pond lake that the egrets used to nest in. And I'd like to go back through there someday to see if those egrets still, I think it's the spring of the year when they hatch out.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember going there one year when they were nesting. They haven't been back over there in years and years and years.
About AJ going up those.
You might as well go ahead and do it.
The AJ going for the pickles?
Yeah. Ms. May's canned goods.
Ms. May's canned goods in the room down the hall. And he had to go past the casket room to get to the canned goods.
And they was in big old wooden caskets.
Yeah, the big old wooden one.
Yes.
Standing on end.
I didn't know that.
No.
Yeah, standing up on end. They'd stand them on end, you know. They'd be standing up.
They would store them all that
mm-hmm.
way.
Store them. Standing up.
Yeah.
Now, one of these days I'm going up there and see how that hall is.
Yeah, just ask Ms. Weaver if you can go upstairs.
Yes.
Yeah.
But go ahead now.
And the stairway is at the back of the building, and it runs, you know, up the stair. And there's an elevator in that building. Did you know that?
Yes. I just seen it.
Yeah, well, you used a rope to pull it up and down, you know. I've rode on that elevator many a time.
Yeah.
If there's something going up to the second floor, well, ride the elevator, you know. If they were taking canned goods up, you know, cases of merchandise and what have you, carried up there. Well, anyway, Daddy had set it up with one of the other guys that worked there to send AJ for the canned goods, and Daddy went up and put a sheet over him, and he got in the hid in the casket room until AJ went down the hall to the canned goods room, and he got down there. Well, he started moaning and groaning and shaking the casket. AJ come out, and he could get out anyway except go past the casket room. Then he came by the casket room on all fours. Then he headed down the stairs and fell down them. Daddy thought he had a dead nigger at the bottom.
He wasn't planning on all that.
No, he wasn't planning on all that, and he didn't know what he'd done to that nigger, you know. How bad that nigger was hurt. By the time he got rid of his sheet and got downstairs, well, AJ was sitting out on the front just a panting. I don't know what that, a Hance that he had seen up there. Hance upstairs. Daddy had to shut him up real fast because Mr. May was on the way over from across the street.
He didn't want
Mr. May to find out what they'd been up to.
Oh, that pranking. Now, what did they do out in the woods when they...
Now, Paul was in on this. He was with them the night they pulled that stunt.
Yeah.
That they went out the Rochelle Road and on beyond my grandmother's place. There was the old Zetral place. They had a loading chute there. Well, they were going to go out there and take the niggers out coon hunting. It was no trouble to get a truckload of nigger boys, especially those Latson boys, you know, just all young teenagers, you know. But you tell them you weren't going possum hunting, well, yeah, they'd load up. And so they carried them out there, and Daddy had gone on out ahead and taken a sheet and tied a rope to it and hung the rope across the limb of a tree, and then he got behind the tree, you know, shaking this thing up and down. So when those niggers crossed the fence, you know, and he started shaking this thing, and then they headed back across the fence, fell across the barbed wire, and one of them shot at the sheet, and I think the tree saved them that night.
And then they talked about it for the next week or two.
Yeah.
That's the thing of it. It just gives them something to talk about.
Oh, that's what makes the kind of thing to talk good.
And I see Jay, you know, he'd tell them all about what he got into. And his telling of it, don't you know, it would be rich. It
wouldn't resemble the truth.
Now, your daddy had this bird dog.
You know, Betty?
Uh-huh.
Miss Agnes, I remember Betty, I'm sure.
Oh, that?
Yeah. Agnes, because Mr. Lon used to go by there and pick her up and take her bird hunting.
Because she was such a fine dog.
Mm-hmm. Well, they used to take her duck hunting, and she would retrieve every duck they shot down. They used to bring her in from duck hunting and build a fire to get her warm. She'd swim out and pick up every duck that hit the water.
Mm-hmm. Now, your daddy go duck hunting too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he went duck hunting.
Who'd he go with?
There's an old negro, and I think he's still living, Miller Stewart, up in Meconopie. And Miller would take those boys hunting when they were just kids. Robert and Ernest. He'd take them down on the lake hunting, highway fishing. But he used to go with Daddy a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because he'd pick the ducks. You know, they'd always find somebody to do the dirty work. And Miller, he'd pick ducks. Well, my twins can remember Miller picking ducks. I know Paula and Mary do. The boys would shoot a lot of ducks. Well, then they'd go get Miller to come down near the house, and he'd go out in the field, and there was logs sitting out and behind the barn. He'd take the ducks out there so that the feathers, you know, would have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
And he'd go out there and sit in the field and pick all those ducks.
Yes. Now, he could have just taken a dirt out of the ground and put them in there and cut them up again,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't have to do fool with that at the end of it.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, as you talk like that, I can just see. Mm-hmm. I can see this. I've never duck hunting
yeah.
in my life. I've been hunting with my daddy, but I've never been. But I can see this whole thing, and I can see it right around here.
Don went duck hunting for the first time this year. Willie took him Thanksgiving afternoon, but he didn't kill a duck.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Willie has bought him his first gun. He's bought him a 410.
Yeah.
But
he's really?
At Willie's house, so we had to go
down
to the courthouse the other day and get him a permit so that he could hunt. And he isn't old enough to have a license, but they are supposed to get a permit.
Now, Ms. May lived a sort of life of her own. She wasn't swallowed up by that grocery store.
No, she wasn't swallowed up by that grocery store, but she was swallowed up by Mr. May. Oh, he's a domineering old man.
Oh, he was?
Oh, yeah. She didn't have a minute to call her own.
Oh, really?
She'd slip off. I mean, she'd do things. She got away from him. But he sure liked to know what she was doing and how she was spending her money. And, of course, she had money of her own.
Mm-hmm.
So she wasn't wholly dependent upon his money.
How did she...
But there's things like... Now, there's... one colored woman there in town, she went down to her house and she saw this piece of furniture, an antique in her house that she wanted. So she made arrangements with her to get it. But now if Mr. May asked her if she bought it from her, no, she didn't buy it, she just borrowed it. She'd give her the money, you know, for it, but I'm just borrowing it. And she'd make her arrangements like this. If it was necessary in order for her to get what she wanted.
Yes. And she liked those furniture.
She had beautiful furniture. She had beautiful antiques.
Yeah.
And she had just closets. Not just china closets, but she had a closet built, a walk-in closet with shelves from the floor up. And this thing was just stacked with cut glass. In China, and most of it was antiques or novelty things that she'd see that she'd want, you know.
But she'd have to manage.
Gee whiz.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness. Well, now where did she get all that taste and all?
I guess she was born with it. Some of her Georgia.
That's right, she's from Georgia.
Now, she's the one that had the log cabin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She had the special little dishes for corn on the cob. You know, the little long dishes
yeah.
for the corn on the cob. And she had all this stuff. These little nut cups. And she must have had 100 of them. little tiny dishes, you know. And different types of anything that was spent. Butter. She'd have them mold butter in little individual molds.
And you see a bullet in
it. In Micanopy.
In Micanopy. Yes, in Micanopy. She'd have those little tiny biscuits with a little cutter about that big around. Little individual biscuits. And she'd have the individual butter molded. One margarine. It was pure butter. And she's had them take it and remold it into the little individual molds.
You know, you said she can
And I said she couldn't stand to see things go to waste.
It's just that she just liked all this. I mean, she'd buy the stuff to can, a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, she needed it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, pickling peaches and different types of pickles and all sorts of relish. And, oh, she'd have...
Mm-hmm.
Not just common things, fancy things, you know. The things that... things she wanted.
Yeah. And the salads. She
mm-hmm.
liked the...
She liked fancy things.
Okay, with the
mm-hmm.
salad. I'm trying to remember what Juanita said, what she told about before. It wasn't... don't you know, it wasn't the butter. It was the... what was those other things?
The watermelon.
Oh, the little... yeah. And then she'd take apples, you know, and just make little scoop the make the little balls and then dye them different
oh, yeah.
colors at Easter.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She did this at my bridal shower.
Oh, really?
She served. It was I guess it was in April, and it was around Easter, and
uh-huh.
she had little apples that looked like. You know, dyed like Easter eggs
yeah.
and chicken salad
yeah.
and
yeah.
What all did she have?
Just sort of a, just mm-hmm. a
yeah.
creation.
Just a,
uh-huh. That's incredible.
Now these little logs, they were matched logs.
Yeah, if you've looked at that cabin, you can see they're perfect.
And there were enough people going in there to eat.
Yeah. Oh, there were on weekends and holidays. There'd be people waiting. She'd be serving till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because people would be waiting to get in, you know, to eat. During weekdays, of course, there was a lot of people, you know, working people. And, of course, we had the school here then, and we didn't have, if you didn't want to eat the lunchroom, you could go downtown
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
and eat at the log cabin.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
How long did she keep that open? Up until the World War II?
Well, it was, it was into World War II. When did she sell it? Then Mrs. Manning's brother had it for a little while. He ran it for a while.
Not like she did.
Oh, no. Nobody ever ran it like she did. The Weavers. Ms. Weaver ran it for a while.
Mary?
Uh-huh. Mary Weaver ran it.
I didn't quite get the picture where they'd be sitting on the veranda.
On that platform.
Oh, the loading platform.
The loading platform out there where the bean grater and the machinery was. Of course, it was down at the back, but across the front of it there was quite a few rocking chairs, and just old wooden rockers,
uh-huh.
porch rockers
uh-huh.
up there.
Just
yeah,
rough.
It'd be like those sitting out in the driveway over there under the carport
yeah.
at Mama's.
Yeah.
That kind of
yeah.
rocking chair.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
there was
a
load.
Sitting up there. Waiting to get in.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Mama remembers more about that.
Isn't it?
Log cabin, though, more of the details. She was more involved in it.
Yeah,
I was only, about 12 years old?
Mm-hmm.
10 when she opened up. I guess maybe even younger than that.
Oh, goodness.
How'd you ever have twins?
Yeah.
You should have heard them this afternoon. Oh, those kids were going on. Talking about whose fault it was about the twins.
Oh.
Whether it was my fault or whether it was Daddy's fault. You know, the first time that I was conscious of those twins, both of them had, was sitting on one on one knee and Miss Patterson,
yes,
one on the other. That's the first time I guess I was conscious of it.
Just,
you know,
the right
and
age.
Then they were about so big. And every time I think about them, I think about one I'm hovering over Mr. Patterson.
Oh, they were perfect charming.
Yeah. They had their daddy going yesterday. And
well,
so they've done
let me tell you, I've got to get one more of these little things that you told me about the other day. I want to get it straight in my mind. And then we'll get to the other. Your daddy had, most of his business was accounts. Nobody paid cash much.
No, most of them were either weekly or monthly accounts.
Yes. It all went on the books.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And a lot of writing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was quite a bit. But the way Mama worked, she had just these little, you know, just regular little ticket pad, you know, has a duplicate carbon there, and when they itemized everything down there, you know, all of it down there, item by item. Usually now they give you one lump sum amount that your groceries are so much, and if you, I know they do up at Myers, well, they add everything up and then they put it down, groceries so much.
Mm-hmm.
But they always itemized everything, and then Mama worked up the tickets. Oh, she worked them up again late on Friday. Always had them worked up Saturday morning, you know, through Friday's accounts. And usually she kept up with them, you know, every day or every other day. She'd work them up. But by Friday she'd have everything, you know, up to date. So, and it's all stapled together and brought forward, you know, up to the top statement on top had the balance. That wasn't any big problem.
Yeah. But now the way you talk about it, most of his accounts were good accounts.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to worry about the money.
Mm-hmm. No, because when the people got paid, they'd come in there and they'd pay this account and then they'd buy their groceries.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of them would have their grocery orders written out on a piece of paper and they'd hand you the order, you filled it. They didn't go around and pick up everything themselves. You fill the order for them.
Yes.
And then they'd come back and they'd pick up their order.
Yes.
But when they got their paycheck, well, then they'd come in and pay up and hand you their grocery order. And then you'd fill it. And
you can't remember him living on the livestock and things like that to collect his accounts.
He never did. No, there are people, you know, that if they raised fresh vegetables or something like that, then they may bring in, like, greens. They may bring in 2 dozen bundles of greens, and then you just give them credit on their bill for what they brought against what they had.
Oh.
Well, what sort of operation was it? You're pushing me a little bit. What sort of operation was it? Mr. Thrasher told me his daddy didn't stay in the store all the time, that he was sort of the outside man. Now, give me a little on that.
That his daddy was the outside man.
Yeah, you know. And dealt a good bit in livestock.
Yeah, he did. He had a great big truck that he hauled livestock and traded and swapped and sold and what have you.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about that because Daddy didn't ever do any livestock swapping.
Mm-hmm.
All the livestock he acquired, he put down in the pasture, and he liked his blacks. So he started out on the farm down there, he tried to get everything. He didn't have purebred Angus, but he had Great Angus. He had a purebred Angus bull, and then he had the Great Angus cows, and
that's
what he tried to develop.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't have any livestock swapping and what have you.
Well, he didn't have country people trading with him.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
Well, what's the difference?
I don't know what the difference is.
Well, you do too.
But he didn't run an operation. He just didn't carry on his business like Mr. Thrasher did.
Well, how'd Mr. Thrasher carry on, kind of? You weren't out there, but you know how he did it.
Well, I don't really know. The people that traded down at Mr. Thrasher's, they just seemed to, you can't say why they were trading down there. Really? His daddy had practically all the good accounts. Mm-hmm. And he had Cross Creek people. And he had Flemington. And way down in that section around Irvin and Flemington and on down toward
that far
Fairfield.
Off?
Mm-hmm.
Well.
And of course, a lot of the hands from Franklin's came from the other side of Williston. Down there, what's the little town?
I don't know that area.
Well, it's on down below Williston, but Ben had a truck that brought the hands back and forth every day. Well, the truck stopped out there beside the store every afternoon, and those hands piled out of the truck and came in and bought what they wanted, you know, and then the truck went on. Well, he had them. So they say until they sold the store out. Well, Ben didn't worry about a commissary down there because he didn't care about the truck stopping there. And
Mr. Snatcher's daddy had all those old animals right there close to the store.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen them.
Mm-hmm. They didn't impress me a great deal, but because he'd let them starve to death.
What sort of animals they have?
Mules and cows, bony looking ones, like he's got in his pasture up there.
Oh, just the kind that people would want to buy.
Who would want to buy an old bony animal?
Well, sort of cheap animals, you might say.
You get back over yonder, they'll be ready to go home, and I'll be sitting over there. Paul told me yesterday, she said she wished I'd go home with the children, stay at home with the children, or something like that. I said, well, she hadn't mentioned to me anything about staying home with the kids. She said, you ought to try staying home, see how she gets along.
That's right.
Now, that's the end of Channel 1 Over, the visit of Juanita this Sunday afternoon, late 29 November 1970. And it ends way before the end of the reel, 75, before the end of the reel, before the end of this side. And that's the end of the Channel 1 over. That's the end of this little tape, but not the end of the side of Juanita, the visit with Juanita this Sunday afternoon, late the 29th of November 1970. This is the end of Channel 1 Over. Part of the visit was Juanita this Sunday afternoon late. Nice.